Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why the lakefront is seemingly realistic to Kevin Warren.
One of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Him and my son are the same.
And Solange.
Oh, it's like, Daddy, excavator.
And we didn't really specify what kind of cranes he's looking for.
I think it's
birds?
He's talking about like Solange, like cranes in the sky.
Cranes in the sky.
We don't have bird cranes here, do we?
Yeah, we do.
We do?
Yeah, ask Bernsie in transition tomorrow.
No.
That virgin will tell you all about it.
I don't want to ask him.
I always look for cranes in the air.
Gotta find the cranes. Dan Bernstein, our crane expert. Hi, Dan.
Why is Shane bothering me in the middle of my workout?
That's a good question.
You're our crane guy. Are there cranes in the sky?
Call Crane Kenny.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Here's what's really interesting. Just a couple of weeks ago, my dad and I, it was a beautiful Saturday or Sunday. My dad and I decided we were going to go for a walk. And there was a nature preserve just north of where my parents live. I think it's technically Lake Forest. And it's called the Middle Fork Nature Preserve. And I'm looking around, and there are sandhill cranes everywhere. These are massive birds that are instantly recognizable because of the streak of red on their head. They're known for their famous mating dance that you've seen, like, the kids perform on Letterman for years.
Is there a second half to this story, or was that the dramatic
finish?
$5.
Go away.
And they're everywhere.
This is too much, Dan.
You're going to get to the interesting part, right?
Just tell us about which cranes are here.
Here's the thing. I look at the distance, and I said, wow, what is that built? Oh, that's the Walter Payton Center. The Sandhill Cranes are at Hallis Hall.
So
Kevin Warren should see plenty of cranes.
So both kinds.
And you look around, and there were cranes everywhere.
Both kinds. He likes both kinds.
That's really interesting.
All right, Dan.
You called me, bitch.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thank you for hanging out. It is Parkins and Spiegel. That was Dan Bernstein yesterday. You could see him with Layla and Lawrence at Wings and Rings on Halstead tomorrow. They're with Modelo ahead of the Sox opener. Then ahead of the Cubs opener, that show was with BetMGM at Sluggers, which is very exciting.
Yeah. You know, Wings and Rings, they used to have the buffalo on top. They dropped the buffalo because you can get all kinds of wings at Wings and Rings. That's the old school name. So I'm definitely going to swing by over there some point before the show. Not very, very much, not far from my neighborhood. So go and swing by, say hello.
Hey, you should go check that out. I don't think I will be able to make it tomorrow, just given how much of my life I spend in traffic right now, but I will be at their broadcast at Sluggers before the Cubs opener on Monday.
Let's go. You Same. And I will both be there on Monday.
And Tanny.
Yeah? Yeah, we're all going to go to Sluggers, yep, right?
Yeah, we have a table reserved for the four of us. We're going to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I don't know if I can get there that early. But
or at all, really.
Yeah, Tanny doesn't know if he's going to be there at all.
CBS off day speaks on Monday. They snuck one in on us. So at least, yeah. Maybe it's just my kid's school, but
those
look that up. Yeah,
yep.
Spring break, and then here's one on the back end for you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I there were a couple of days this week where I was like, "Do I have to work from home?" No, not quite. Almost,
but close.
Yeah,
that happens.
Close. It happens. But you know, the Roopster's 12. He can hang.
Spring,
if I need him to.
quick, funny 4-year-old spring break story.
Sure.
So it's, you know, he's in like a 3-day-a-week part-time preschool situation.
And so now he's on spring break. So he's down in Florida, like drinking and partying at the beach.
So apparently, you know, it was like at circle time or whatever. Is anyone going away for spring break? And some kids, a lot of kids were.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Florida, going to Mexico or whatever. Uh-huh. Owen said he was going to Florida and Mexico because he didn't want to feel left out.
Oh, boy.
So they're like, oh, okay, good for you, Owen. Yeah, go to Florida.
Too early for the lying lesson at four, you know? So, Owen, this is the truth, and here is what you said.
Yeah, too early. But we had parent-teacher conferences, and so the teacher was like,
how was Mexico and Florida?
No, it was before it. She's like, so are you guys going anywhere for spring break? And we're like, no. And they're like, because, you know, he doesn't have older siblings who are in school that matters or whatever. Like, we're not going to do vacations around 4-year-old spring break.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think so because what Owen said didn't make any sense. He said he was going to Florida and Mexico. So
just be a waste of spring break to add some travel right there in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
One or the other, Owen.
Seemed very silly. So anyway.
Oh, wow.
So much happened yesterday with the owner of the team, the general manager of the team. Everyone was talking at these meetings. We didn't get to a ton of what Matt Eberflus had to say. And there were a few things that actually were relevant, some might say. And we will, including one thing that I think is going to upset you a great deal.
Upset me?
Yeah, so we'll build to that.
Oh, goodness.
At the beginning, here's how Flus is talking about the breakup with Justin.
You know, Justin Fields, you know, when Brian and I were at my house calling him, obviously a very difficult decision that we had to make, but we thought it was, you know, the right decision for everybody involved. And, you know, Justin and I have built a relationship over the last 2 years, and I just wished him the best and told him that I love him, and, you know, we'll continue our friendship. You know, if everyone wants to call or visit, you know, we'll definitely do that, but that was really the extent of the conversation. He's a leader. He's got great personality, and you're going to get a guy that's a dynamic worker. He's going to work from, you know, when he's going to be the first guy in, the last guy to leave, so an outstanding person and a great worker.
Man,
I believe all of that.
I believe all of that. Absolutely. And I think when you pair that with the opportunity and with Arthur Smith, who is a creative offensive mind in terms of the run game and a willingness to utilize folks, I think it could be a good spot for Justin.
Well, I also think, especially thinking about this with you, how much you care about the soft factors and all of that.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is weird. Justin Fields is as cool and popular of a player in a locker room that I've ever encountered for someone who's not a great player. And maybe he will be a great player one day, but he certainly was not a consistently great player when he was here, and they all revered him.
Mm-hmm.
So if
let's ride. Let's ride.
Broncos.
Let's ride.
Perfect.
Okay.
One more time. Broncos country. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Dude.
Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
The outtake got released by accident?
Or on purpose? But
that's so weird. That is so, that's like A-Rod level self-awareness and like, you know, just completely arrogant.
Like, who do you think
narcissism
Steelers players, if they got to vote,
Justin Fields
would want to be their leader?
Well, yeah, on the human level and on the soft factors, but man, Russ can still play. You know me, like, man, yeah. I've been on that, and you look at those numbers in Denver.
Some of it was, I think those numbers lie a little bit.
I saw that Sunday night game where he led them back and made crazy, crazy plays. Was the Bills? Is that what it was? I forget exactly who they were playing, but it was like, yeah, Russell. I think Russ can still cook. I actually do believe that. And Sean Payton is a bad fit for him.
I'll take Justin over Russ.
Yeah, I mean, if Russ
can get George Pickens the ball,
yeah, whoever can get George,
they're gonna be fine. Yeah, someone has to.
Yeah, whoever can get George Pickens the ball is probably going to be the guy who wins the job. Here is Matt Eberflus on his visit with Caleb Williams.
It was a really good visit out to USC in the pro day. You know, we went to dinner the night before with several of the players on the USC team that are draft eligible, and it was great to see him interact. You know, great personality, great character. You could see that easily during the dinner. And then the next day, we spent some time, doing the football. Knowledge and all those things, but I started out about an hour and 20 minutes, just him and I in the room together, and just really hearing his journey, from being a little guy, and what I gleaned from that was how his mother and father love him very much, and very supportive, and you could see his character, his football character there, his football knowledge as I talked through that, and it was a really good visit.
Man, it's cool to hear that stuff from Flus, who had an opportunity to connect, and from Poles, who had an opportunity to, like, legit connect and check him out, because that stuff matters so much. It's amazing how much went on in their time together out in Cali, isn't it? Like, some install of Bears offense, like a little bit of that. Like, they dissected some of the USC stuff in terms of what were you thinking? We've seen this play. Tell us what you think about this stuff. But they gave him some Bears stuff that they're going to go back and check on with him when he comes into town for his visit here. Like, I hadn't even really conceived of that. He's got some Bears playbook stuff already.
Yeah. It's an interesting, they were talking about install. The idea, it's so obvious that it's happening. I mean, Caleb Grant, he was in the room with Matt Eberflus for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
An hour and 20 minutes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of time before your pro day. So I thought that all was pretty positive. Thomas Brown was brought up with Matt Eberflus, and this is a name that we should be mentioning maybe not as often because he's not the play caller, but almost as often as we mentioned Shane Waldron.
Thomas has been outstanding, and we're fortunate to have him. He had several offensive coordinator interviews, head coaching interviews, so he's been kind of a hot guy the last couple years, and we're fortunate to have him. And his experience with Bryce is something that we leaned on, in terms of taking, the first, quarterback at the first pick and all that. So it's important that we got the information from him of what his process was with Bryce, and what we could learn and adjust, from that process. So it's been great, and I've had, Shane and obviously Simo, and Thomas, in my office a few times talking about, their relationship, and how they operate together, how they communicate to put this offense together with the rest of the offensive staff. And it's important that those guys are always working lockstep together, in the protection, in the pass game, in the run game.
Man, Thomas Brown is a great piece on this coaching staff. And we've talked about this, and I'm really interested in what his role is going to be and could be in the future. Passing game coordinator, but very much groomed to be a future head coach by his mentor, Sean McVay. And I love that specific stuff about being there when they had their visit with Bryce Young last year as a Panther. We don't know whether he was a Bryce Young guy. Maybe he was a CJ Stroud guy. We don't know exactly how that played out, but he was in on all those conversations and that whole process. And of course, the install of the offense with Bryce Young and the absolute freaking chaos that went on in Carolina during the year. There's a lot of experience there to grow from and learn from.
Yeah, and it's weird. We keep hearing from people on Shane Waldron. We kind of scoffed a little bit when it was Softy Mahler because of Softy's delivery, frankly.
How about today from Brock Heward? Right?
Brock Heward brought it up again about Shane Waldron would need to learn more about presence and connecting with, being a leader of men and all that at the front of the room.
Yeah.
Not head coach material. Then we heard it. We got the Jackson Smith and Jigba thing from the CHGO guys when they were at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So there's a lot of stuff that's coming up about Waldron that sounds like really smart guy, really bright offensive mind, really good play caller even, but maybe peaking as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, maybe
not a head coach.
And also, like, commanding the room, and Hewitt Brock was talking during polls position today, which was a great segment. If you missed it, make sure you go back and hear that on the Washington players like Roma Dunze, but also on Shane Waldron, was talking about calling plays with conviction. That's what Brock was talking about. Like, your players got to believe that you know exactly what you want to do and you believe in it so they can believe in it. And that can be a tricky thing. I also, like, I always am interested in thinking about coaching staffs in terms of the personality mix. Like, somebody's got to be, sometimes somebody has to be the good cop, somebody has to be the bad cop.
Yep.
You know, and if Shane Waldron's not going to command that room as the bad cop, that's okay as an OC.
Definitely.
But better have somebody to do it with Caleb. Maybe it's Kerry Joseph, the quarterback coach. I don't know about his personality. Maybe it's Thomas Brown, you know? So it's like the personality mix in teaching these guys and molding these guys matters a great deal.
When it made the job more attractive because of the opportunity to coach Caleb Williams. And so hopefully these guys were not good enough to get head coaching opportunities, but hopefully they are the best of the rest. This is the one that I think is going to upset you. Does not sound like more resources are going to be applied to the center position.
Very important for a young quarterback to have that center, experience, real call and make adjustments, to the protections, to help and assist that way. So we thought it was critical to get that piece and Ryan fits that bill and we're excited to have him. You know, he's been a pro a long time, and he's moved along, the line inside there, so a guard and center. So it's good to have that position flex as well. But, yeah, that's a critical piece.
Talking about it as a critical piece, solidifying the position for a rookie quarterback. Ryan Bates, that's your center. They liked him before. They're trusting their evaluation. They gave up a resource for him. We can count it on draft day. They only got 4 picks right now.
Yeah.
But polls said yesterday, he's like, but we still have 25 picks in a 3-year window. So he likes the overall numbers of guys on rookie contracts. But that is your center.
Yeah. I mean, look, they signed, who's it? Coleman Shelton is the name from the Rams, but he's making less. Bates is making more. I'm worried because Buffalo traded him for a 5 and then cut their center.
Yeah, Buffalo didn't want him. Didn't want the first string center or the second.
Or the second string center. And if the Bears had known they were going to cut the first string center, they probably just could have waited and then picked up the second string center when they cut both of them, because they're clearly going a new direction.
Yeah, I'm not even saying that the operation here to get him is correct.
I'm just worried
I'm saying he's going to be the center.
I'm worried that they're just assigning this guy and trusting this guy when the last one that they signed and trusted and assigned was Lucas Patrick, and he couldn't play the freaking position. So I'm sure they like him as a person, and maybe they even like him as a leader and with some toughness, and as long as he's strong enough and good enough, because Lucas Patrick sure as hell wasn't. And I'd rather see a legit asset, at an important time assigned to the center position.
Well, I mean, he's on a multi-year deal. It's not like he's playing for the veteran minimum. It's not like he's a fifth-round pick.
Well, that's what they traded.
But that's what I'm saying. They gave up a fifth round.
That didn't want him.
But they are paying Ryan Bates more than you would pay a fifth round pick.
I don't trust them on centers. I just don't.
I don't get that logic, though.
Well, let me tell you, because it's not just Patrick. It's Cody Whitehair, who had no business being asked to be a center again when he couldn't shotgun snap 3 years ago, and they didn't do their freaking research, and they asked him to do it again.
No, I understand that point. It obviously has not gone well with center in the 2 years that Ryan Poles has been here. I guess I'm saying that, like, I don't hold Chase Claypool against Keenan Allen or Montez Sweat. Those are traded picks for veterans, right? We like the Keenan Allen move. We like the Montez Sweat move. Those are trading of draft picks for veteran players.
But I don't
believe that Ryan Poles is, like, uniquely bad at scouting center as a former offensive lineman.
Well,
but he's been good at finding Braxton Jones and a spot for Tevin Jenkins and drafting Darnell Wright. But the only offensive line position he can't scout is center.
But let's do apples to apples and say Chase Claypool to Keenan Allen instead of Montez Sweat. Keenan Allen's a proven pro, and they trade for that. But, like, otherwise in wide receivers, like, I'm not sure I'd trust him at wide receivers. I think GMs could have blind spots. I mean, Velus Jones, Tyler Scott do anything for you? I mean, Keenan Allen's a no-brainer. Obviously, DJ Moore is a no-brainer, but those are veterans who had already done it.
See, yeah, here. I think
I think center could be a blind spot. I know you disagree because of what, Creed Humphrey?
Yeah. was one of the best centers in the league. He was the director of, and I just I think that you could hit or miss on any position. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there are GMs that are uniquely qualified at being good at. I'm good at corner, D tackle, offensive tackle, receiver, and running back, but I'm bad at quarterback, linebacker, and safety. Like I don't think that there's huge scouting staffs. There's a bunch of people that go into this sort of thing.
But I think it's absolutely a plausible theory that certain personnel guys and decision makers are worse at evaluating certain positions. I think that makes a lot of sense to me anyway. But either way, I'm not cynical about much, but I am cynical about the way they view and value the center position.
Well, they have a guy who they seem to like, and Ryan Bates is going to be the guy. Let's get to Nico Horner, right? Nico Horner is going to join us. One of the best weekly conversations that I've ever been a part of, and he's into it, and he's joining us ahead of opening day, and he's coming off of a career year, and he's been working on stuff, and we always learn things from, and we're going to play him the promo. The new promo for Cubs baseball. I can't imagine what his response will be. We like to surprise him with some stuff. It's coming up. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.